Are you achieving your goals at work and in your relationships and personal life? Personal accountability is the key. Mark Samuel is co-author of the book, The Power of Personal Accountability, Achieve What Matters to You. As president of Impact Corporation, Mark helps individuals and teams around the world overcome obstacles to reach new levels of fulfillment, excellence, and success. Visit www.marksamuel.com to learn about his accountability coaching services and products, or call 323-969-0088. MarkSamuel.com, success you can count on, 323-969-0088.
Well, good morning. As always, Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, and it's a real pleasure to partner with my colleague Mark Samuel from Impact Corporation based in Los Angeles. Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
Good morning, Zara. Oh, I'm doing great, and it's a beautiful day today.
Excellent. Just great. And book sales are well, I assume, for your new book, Making Yourself Indispensable, The Power of Personal Accountability, right?
Yes, it's been going great, and there's been more blogging on it and articles written, so we've been real excited about the press and attention that it's been given.
And you love, and it's the chain reaction, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, and people are really surprised by the whole indispensability part, because everyone's got an opinion about it, but when they start to read it, it really invokes some different reactions, like, you know, people really expand in their consciousness about it.
That's great.
Their thinking.
Terrific. Well, I know ordinarily you pick the topic and we talk, and I think I'm going to jump in on this one today, a wise advisor. I feel like I need to lay on the couch and spill my coaching brains to have you coach me on an issue. And it all is, though, in truth, back to the whole issue of accountability, I believe. And it kind of goes like this, Mark. I'm working with a very major client of mine, and the question is, even when we have agreements, as you would coach, is so important to getting accountability, have that mutually desired outcome in mind, even though we have agreements with dates, with critical steps that need to be taken, I find myself so many times watching this team not live to those. And so we kind of slip and slide constantly. And it's become a very tough point of frustration for me as I continue in service and wanting to be indispensable to them, of course, and valuing what they bring to the party. This is what I know your thoughts would be rumbling in my head. But at the end of the day, we're not making our dates and thus losing traction on what we really, as a team, committed to get done.
You know, this is such an interesting one that you're bringing up, because I too find the same thing with my clients at times, where they've got these major projects and they're super important and they've got critical deadlines, and then it's as if they don't even exist. It's like people take no action, people have no sense of urgency. Is that kind of what you're experiencing with your
clients?
Oh,
it is, and in fact, it makes me wonder sometimes, you know, am I on a different planet? Did I forget to send that email that said we're going to get that special offer to that potential supplier by date X, and we need to respond with the contract by date Y, or are we going to lose them and it'll cost us a 50% premium? I mean, I sit there and say, did I forget to send this, or did we not talk about this? And then I look at meeting minutes or other traffic. I said, no, we did talk about it. So am I the only one that gets it?
I think the biggest illusion that I ever ran into was this whole notion that when we set a project up and we have clear target dates and clear goals and clear understanding of priority, that creates accountability. And the problem is, it actually doesn't set up the accountability, even though we all thought it did. And I learned it from working with a group. We were doing major action planning. We had people making commitments, and they were volunteering. It was their project. They were volunteering. And at the very end of having all of our plans completely laid out and all the target dates and commitments of who's going to do what by when, I asked the group, so when are you going to get started on this? And they said, oh, you mean this is real? And it was like, oh my God, all this goal setting, I thought setting goals was accountable, and it hit me right at that moment, that has nothing to do with accountability. And the most important step in actually creating accountability for those projects is, what are you going to do first to get this moving? Not the big task, not the big project. But sometimes it's just a little thing that needs to happen that people either aren't prepared to do, don't know how to do, or that something else will get in the way of doing it, or they don't want to do it. So in other words, you can actually agree to the project, you can agree to milestones, you can agree to even some big aspects of it, you know, that needs to get done, but if you don't know what that defining next step is, then you literally can go into procrastination until you lose the deadline.
Now, this is an interesting one. So, you know, I'm sitting here kind of looking at myself in the mirror saying, now, did we define what that was at the onset of this major endeavor that is top of my mind that I'm thrashing around with here this morning? And
yeah.
My gut tells me we did, but did I constantly revisit it to make sure it really was to be the first step? Perhaps not. Because
well,
I think, you know, you would tell us
of what you thought was the first step, because that's the confusing part, because sometimes what we think is a first step actually has three or four steps in it. But it's, and I'm talking about the most micro step.
Okay, or it had some steps before it, before we even wanted. Okay, I would have thought that the first step we wanted was to have everybody 100% agree on the desired outcome. I mean, I'm thinking of your accountability model, the desired outcome. So in this case, the desired outcome was that we needed to engage a new core supplier of a certain system to back up how the company was functioning. It's related to their MRP system. And so the desired outcome is something really new, and it needed to be able to link with a couple other things that we hadn't done. And so the whole pursuit was to go find the right supplier of that service or that opportunity to bring to the party.
Great.
So far, so good?
So far, so good. What did you then think would be the first step in doing that?
The first step would have been to really define the criteria of what makes up that ideal supplier. Well, let's call it the position description, for lack of a better word.
Great. And then who was going to do that?
That was done in conjunction with myself as a consultant, because I happen to have had a lot of experience in this particular space and a couple of the core people inside the company.
Okay, great. But you already completed that step.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. But then what was the step after that? So now you've got the criteria.
Then you come up with a slate of potential candidates.
Okay, and who was going to do that?
That was actually someone internal to the company, so I could kind of step back and perhaps not bias a decision one way or another. And they did a very fine job and came up, by the way, with a very strong, viable candidate.
Okay, so they completed their step.
Right.
Okay, great. So what was the step that wasn't completed?
Finally making the decision, and which they did. They made the decision internally. But then everything that had to go in motion to get the contract in place so we then could expeditiously start moving out and working on the project, because it's got a very tight right-to-left planning horizon.
Uh-huh.
And so this is where suddenly it's, well, you know, we should have closed on this by Friday, but we thought then it was Monday. I mean, I can kind of see these underpinnings of, you know, do they really even want to do this project to start with? That's what's kind of trying to creep into my head.
Okay, but without even going into the analysis of why it broke down, let's just back up a bit and take it from the point of where the breakdown occurred. So you've got a decision, and now it needs to go into a contract, correct?
Correct.
The contract.
Correct.
Okay, great. And so the person doing the contracting, were they in the room?
Uh-huh.
Or was that being delegated to somebody?
Yes, they were in the room. But the ultimate decision maker, who did the negotiations verbally with the supplier, had to transmit the new, slightly different terms and conditions than what was originally drafted up.
And were they in the room?
Yes, they were. But I think where the breakdown is actually that he is working on a different flight plan than the rest of the team was, and said, yep, sure, transmitted to this contract person, go forth. But I don't believe at the same time, though, transmitted there were slight changes, and perhaps thought, well, we'll just catch that next week, thinking that maybe work would start, but it couldn't.
Okay, so what you're seeing, though, is where the breakdown is because there wasn't an agreed-upon next action step. to move. In other words, we kept it into a big step of the project called contracting, but we have to break the big step of contracting down into, okay, so the very next step is the person that's going to make the changes needs to talk with the person who's going to do the contracting and articulate those changes, and when is that going to be done by?
You're absolutely right. Yep, you're absolutely right. So I guess my question would be, and for those who are listening to this case study unfold, you know, the extent to which you lay out this kind of minutiae, I'm sorry to have characterized it that, you wouldn't, at some point, can't that become paralyzing, Mark?
Well, it can be paralyzing when it's called, when it's micromanagement, of course.
Right.
But what you're looking into here is that you want to make sure do people know what the next action is, not the next major step, but the next action to complete the step.
Very well put.
Now, are you going to do that with every group and every person? No, but if someone has a record of handling things on their own and they take the big step and they always take initiative and they always make sure it happens and there's no breakdowns, then obviously you don't need to do that. But when a group has a history of not keeping commitments or missing on big projects or something is just so critical that it has a sharp timeline on it, I'm always asking two questions. What's the next major step? In this case, it would be contracting. And the next thing I'm going to ask is, so what's the very next step in moving that forward? I don't even need to know the five steps that are going to do it. Yeah. I just need to know what the next first step is. Because that next one step, that first step, is what gets the energy moving and having it progress. Usually what happens is there's that next step that people either don't want to do, are afraid to do, are not quite aligned in doing it, etc. And it sounded like in this case you sort of even knew that there was this one person who wasn't quite aligned with everybody even though they said yes. So that's a real trigger to say, okay, what is that then next step that involves that person?
And again, what's interesting about your line of inquiry to me, you kept asking me, and was he in the room or was she in the room or were they present?
Right.
And I think, wow, is that a familiar trap when we think connecting with people by telephone or video conference or email at worst case, and in this day and age, even a text, that you think you're really getting through and that you're understanding that it's been acknowledged and will be acted upon.
Right. And then the other part of that is if someone's not in the room, then it's who's going to connect with them and by when is that going to happen with then a report out as to how that went.
And if indeed that's the most capable messenger for that person to receive the next step for them to do. Well, those are all the right questions.
Right. So I often find, and by the way, you know, we're talking about other people now with groups and projects, but I have to say, I've run into the same thing for my own projects and my own self. It's like, you know, if I have something that's major and I even have it broken down to what the major parts of the tasks are and I find myself procrastinating, it is always because I'm not exactly clear what I need to do first to get this thing moving. Or I don't, you know, I'm uncomfortable with a step. And so I literally will start to just write down, what's my very next action? And sometimes that's just making a list, or sometimes it's call this person, you know, and it's like, okay, the task is I need to get, you know, find a new insurance carrier. Okay, when am I going to do that? And okay, that means I got to do research. And I know these big steps, but it's all about what's my very next step.
It's sort of like, Mark, your comment about I want to drive from L.A. to New York, and rather than worry about what's going to happen three states in front of me, I only can see as far as the headlights will go anyways in the context of traveling at night. You know, the other challenge, I think, again, now in retrospect for this particular scenario I'm playing with is we're in the process of doing, but we're also in the process of changing the process of how we're doing it, and therein lies another set of traps. Because perhaps I have been expecting this organization to embrace a whole different way of even getting to the decision or then implementing from there than what they've been comfortable in doing in the past.
Well, and again, anytime you're doing something that's you know, uncomfortable or new to a group, then it takes even, again, more microing, you know, breaking it down into smaller pieces so that the smaller pieces they might be comfortable with, whereas the larger change might be overwhelming or confusing.
Which, of course, is always the trick of the trade for those of us that lead change, is if you can break it down into small enough pieces that people then can own and then be, as you say, then would be getting accountable. But, you know, your opening comment to me that setting a goal or a target date is not about accountability. That is not accountability.
Correct.
I think that's just shocking. People would think, well, no, that's what accountability is all about, is making a commitment and then living to my commitment. But I think what you're saying is, A, if the commitments are out of step with everyone else, or they're not in step with where you thought you were, and by the way, it might not have been the first step, that's where you're going to get stuck.
Well, and here's another way to look at it. You know what? Today is an off day for me, so I'm going to have the cake and I'm going to have the pizza and I'll start my diet tomorrow. That's not accountable.
Yeah, that's the oh well
factor.
And so
when you set goals for the future and you don't have the action now to go into it, then you actually haven't started anything. You literally haven't begun to do it. And you know, again, I think I've shared this with you. I might have shared this with you before at one point, but I made a commitment to a coach I had and didn't come through. And I just said, but, you know, I just got so busy, but I really want to do this. This is in my interest. I'm excited about it. And I was. I had a lot of emotional investment in doing it. She said, okay, great. Let me give you another week. And so I took another week, and I still didn't get it done because other crises came up. And her comment to me was, so you're really committed to not doing this? I go, oh, no. I mean, I really want to. I love doing this. This is totally in my interest. I can see the benefit. And No, she said, you demonstrate your commitment by what you do, not by what you say you're going to do. And so you're actually committed to not doing it based on the results that you haven't done it. And it really struck me about, okay, what does commitment truly mean?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to go do something. It means you're doing it. That is commitment. It's action in motion. And too often when we do our planning, all we're saying is we have a desire to do something.
That's correct, right.
But we're not taking the action yet. And that's why I always say, what's the first step? Because until you take the first step, you're not going to get to step 3, 5, 7, 10, 20. It's taking that first step and doing it that actually demonstrates the accountability.
Well put. Well, so Mark, but you started us out, that team you worked with, and you laid out this well-knitted together plan and vetted next steps and who owns what, etc. And when they said, oh, you mean this is for real? So how did you recover from that?
After I had to get picked up off the
floor.
No, I just confronted the group and I just said, so how many times are you guys going through the motions in your meetings of making commitments that none of you treat seriously or that you even think is real? In fact, you've got such a group think around here that the habit is we're going to commit to things and never do them, and that's normal. See, and that's what I wonder about even with your group around the projects that they've created. Has it become so normal that we can have something important and not think of it as urgent and not think that I need to take action on it now, that I'll just wait till later and oops if I don't make it? Because that's normal too.
Well, I tell you where I think the other trap is the company has a culture of being very tactically focused. And boy, when they all have to get hands on deck because there's a crisis, they perform flawlessly. And you know what? They like working on crises. So if you're trying to shift them to a model of doing it well planned so we don't have a crisis, that we can, not that it still won't be stressful, shall we put it, that's not a natural act for them, right? That they'd rather be pushing it in the other direction. Well, Mark, again, thank you for helping me pick myself off the floor here today. But the idea of taking small steps, put action in motion, I think can benefit all of us rather than realizing it isn't just about the plan. It's really taking action with it, isn't it?
Yes.
Very good.
Absolutely.
Terrific. Our listeners, please tune in with Mark. It's www.marksamuel.com to learn about his principles around indispensability, around accountability. And we'll catch up with you, Mark, in a couple weeks. Thanks so much today.
Sounds good.
Very good.
Thanks.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.